Welcome, everyone. We're on Shoftim, chapter Yudalit, chapter 14, and we're just beginning to learn about Shimshon. And he's one of the more confusing or interesting people in Tanakh. In other words, we have some people that fit a certain mold. You know, the great rabbi that was born a sage and studied Torah his whole life and fasted and, you know, prayed all day long and he was like an angel. And so we're all familiar with that kind of person, you know, the angel-like sage or whatever. Then we have the warrior, you know, the great person that went to war and risked their life and, you know, in battle and was willing to go against all odds and was brave. And, you know, we're familiar with that kind of hero also. And then we also have people that are make mistakes that, you know, they are very human and they did things that we would consider made a mistake or followed after their eyes or they followed after their pleasures and they flipped. In Shimshon, we have a little bit of all three. We have a great, you know, he was a shofet, a judge, which means he was a scholar, and he was a Nazirite, a Nazir, which means that he was very pious and holy and separate. He was a great warrior, a very strong and mighty person. And we read about certain things he did, which are very hard to figure out, very strange sounding. One of the hints to Shimshon is in the blessing that Yaakov Avinu gave him, gave the tribe of Dan. And that is that when he described the different tribes, he described different approaches and he compared them to different animals. So, for example, the Yehuda is described as the lion. You know, the lion jumps, you know, leads the way and is not afraid of anyone. And therefore, throughout history, when we needed somebody to go into the sea, you know, to go forward, it was from the tribe of Yehuda where they jumped forward. It didn't matter if the waters were raging, you know, were raging and were high. Somebody, you know, Yehuda's the lion. He's not afraid. He's going to jump forward. And then Yosef is compared to the ox. An ox is a very strong, you know, beast of burden that takes care, you know, if you have an ox, then you can plow your fields, and then you can pull your wagons. And Yehuda, Yosef was like the ox. That was the leader of the Jewish people, the very hardworking leader. We talk about some of the tribes. Naphtali was compared to a deer, a very quick animal, because he was very quick. He gets things done very quickly. Each tribe was compared to a certain an animal. Many of them were animals in the animal world. And Dan was compared to a snake. Now, a snake is not necessarily a compliment, usually. Oh, you're like a snake. But Yaakov was blessing them, so he was saying it in a positive way. And what he was saying was that somebody from the tribe of Dan would use their powers somewhat like a snake to save the Jewish people. And that person he was referring to was Shimshon. And so what we're going to see is this. The Jewish people were not worthy to totally defeat the Plishtim. The Plishtim were a very brutal nation. We're going to see a little bit about them. We're going to learn about them. But they were a very brutal, very rough, wild kind of people that were ruling over us. And we began in chapter 13 that the Jewish people were doing evil in the eyes of Hashem, and therefore we didn't deserve that we should just take them out, you know. But on the other hand, we were oppressed for a long time, and Hashem heard our prayers to relieve our being oppressed in that way. And so this was going to be a victory different than the other ones. We weren't going to wage war, our people against their people, and defeat the armies in that way. But what was going to happen was the Philistines were going to be afraid to start up with us. They were going to fear the Jewish people. And that was going to come about through Shimshon. In other words, they treated us a certain way, and they didn't have respect for us. And through what happens with Shimshon, they are going to change completely how they interacted with the Jewish people. And so Shimshon is going to change the way in which they deal with us. but it was not going to be a battle victory in the typical sense. And that's, again, it's different than the other judges and the other way things happened. And we're going to begin to see it now, but it's a total different kind of battle and victory. The other thing that's unique was that most of the time when we deal with a leader, he was fighting a battle with people on his side. Even Gideon, you know, he didn't have a huge army, but he had hundreds of people. Shimshon really fights this all by himself. He takes on the Philistines single-handedly, from start to finish. Every battle, it was him against the entire people. And nobody else knew what he was doing. He like single-handedly took on the enemy. It's just an amazing kind of thing to act that way. And so let's see what happened. So we learned, Shimshon began with his parents. And we talked about this, that good people don't start in a vacuum. That comes from the parents. Sometimes we put a lot of work into our children, and we should know it doesn't go in vain. If there are people that have good qualities, it's because of the parents that put their work into them. Especially his mother. We learned the angel kept appearing to the mother, to the father's frustration. Eventually, the angel appeared to him also. But it was because she was a worthy person. Both of them were good people. And they were finally given the child they asked for. And so far, all we mentioned was that Shimshon began, he was raised, he was blessed by Hashem. And the spirit of Hashem started to come through him. We didn't define that. We don't know what that means, the spirit of Hashem. The Medrash seems to say that he showed unusual strength. It says like he was able to pick up very heavy things. And usually we don't define the spirit of Hashem as being like a spirit of power, per se. We usually think of it as like a prophecy. But with Shimshon, when the spirit of Hashem came over him, he had unusual strength. So he talks about him like grinding down mountains, it's hard to know exactly what that means. The verse just says, and we were talking about the last verse in chapter 13, Ruach Hashem lepama b'mayim, the spirit of Hashem came upon him. We will see with Shimshon, when the spirit of Hashem came upon him, he had unusual strength. We do have one example of this with Yaakov Avinu, that Yaakov Avinu had to leave his righteous parents because of his brother Esav. And he was very worried about dealing with his father-in-law Laban. And on the way, his brother sent his son to attack him and took away his possessions. That was Yaakov Avinu. And when he finally got to the place of Laban Arami, they were sitting around a well, and there was a big stone there on the well that took many shepherds to move. And when he saw the daughter of Laban, Rachel, came there. So he saw that as a sign from Hashem. He recognized certain people are given a gift that sometimes they see beyond the moment. Generally speaking, like prophets have this, so he saw right away that she was the one for him. He knew that, that was his beshert, as they say, love at first sight, so to speak. Even though at the time she was young and he was young and many years would go by, but he knew when he saw her that she was the one that was going to be his Bashar. And so when he saw that Hashem had sent him his wife, who he had waited for all these years, so that gave him unusual strength. And he just plopped off that big stone. You know, here he had all that took five shepherds. Shepherds are strong people to move it. He saw that, yeah, Hashem sent him his Bashar. No problem. You know, just like a... So you kind of see that sometimes a person gets the spirit of Hashem, they're given unusual strength. Sometimes people are faced with a challenge that they look back and they say, I could have never done that myself. God just gave me the strength. Somehow he helped me do, on my own, I was weak, I was this, I was that, I could never... Sometimes you find that... In studies, they have there's a Baal Teshuva yeshiva in Israel, or Sameach, where people that have limited background, and they have some students that didn't do well in school, and they're spending 8-10 hours a day in Talmudic studies, and they say, "Well, I could never sit through." Somehow, when it comes to Torah, like a person finds the strength, or finds the ability to do things that they could never do. But again, we find that the Spirit of Hashem sometimes gives a person a strength. The Spirit of Hashem comes with a strength, but it's not defined over here. It just says the Spirit of Hashem came to him. We're going to see later when the Spirit of Hashem came to him that basically he was given unusual power. That's how we're going to see with Shimshon, that he was unusually strong. Some people think that Shimshon was strong naturally. That he was, you know, a body, all the pictures show him as like Tarzan, you know, with the big muscles. And it doesn't seem like that. We're going to see that the text does not seem, in fact, that when the Spirit of Hashem wasn't with him, he wasn't that strong. You know, all he had to do was take a haircut and he was a weakling, right? It wasn't that he worked on his muscles and that he worked out. It was, if that were the case, we're going to see that a lot of what we're going to see wouldn't make sense. It's just that at certain times Hashem came to him and was with him, and that spirit gave him the strength to do what he needed to do. Okay. Vayerid Shimshon Timnasa. So Shimshon went down to Timnasa. Timnasa is mentioned in the Chumash. This was the place that Yehuda had gone to. Over there, it says that Yehuda had gone up to Timnah, and here it's described as going down to Timnasa. Vayar Isha b'Timnasa, and he sees a woman in Timnasa b'Bnos Plishtim. And this woman is not a Jewish woman. This woman is one of the daughters of the Philistines. Vayal, and he went up, Vayaged La'aviv. Now, it doesn't really say that he even knew the woman's name. He just saw her from a distance, or he saw her, and he decided that she was the one that he wanted to marry. Verse 2, V'yal v'yagi la'avi limos, he went to his parents, and he said, V'yama isher isi b'timnasa, I met a woman there, I saw a woman there, from the daughters of Plishtim, v'ato, and now, kacha osu l'isha, get her for me for a wife. So his parents, who had raised him to be a nazir, to be extra holy from birth, were shocked. This was the shock of the lifetime. I mean, imagine, you know, somebody's child comes home and tells them, guess what, I found the right one, there's only one problem. Right? You know, but this is from the pious Shimshon. He comes and he tells his parents, take her for me. Now, if Shimshon just wanted to elope or take a non-Jewish woman, he could have done that. I mean, by his going and asking his parents to take her. Now, the word used in Hebrew is kaku, to take. That's the word the Torah uses to describe getting married. It says kicha. It says kiyikak ish isha, when a man takes a wife. Now, he doesn't just say he wants to live with this woman or elope with her. He wants to marry her. So he's telling his parents that I wish to take this woman as my lawful wife, is what he's saying. And he wants them to make it legal, to arrange this. That's what he tells his parents. V'yomer lo avi imo, and his father and mother, verse 3, they answer him together. The famous quote that you've heard from parents all throughout the ages. Ein b'vnos hakecha b'kol ami isha, ki atza hod l'kai tishmi plishtim, ha-reilim. You couldn't find a Jewish one? You couldn't find a wife amongst all of our people, that you had to go and find a wife from the daughters of the Philistines, the uncircumcised one? That's a strong question. You know, why did you have to pick? You could have had anyone you wanted. Why did you get that one? So Shimshon answers them. V'yomer Shimshon el aviv. Now, it's interesting. It doesn't say he answered his mother. Look at the verse here. We're in verse 3. His father and mother both told him, Shimshon, she's the wrong religion. Forget it. And he find a nice Jewish one. And Shimshon tells his father, he says, Dad, Osa kachli, take her for me, ki yashabena, because in my eyes, she's the right one. What happened to the mother? Some people say he couldn't face it. That's correct. She says, you know, he couldn't bring himself to tell his mom that he couldn't tell, but his father, he was able to. He uses an interesting word. He says she is yashra. The word yashar in Hebrew means straight or proper. She's proper to me. And Scripture tells you when if a person falls in love based on beauty, Scripture doesn't hesitate to tell you, you know, he saw a beautiful woman, and it doesn't say anything about that. It doesn't say that she was beautiful. It doesn't say that it was attraction. He says that she is yasher, she is fitting for me. Now, the parents were just totally puzzled. Verse 4, V'av mi'imo lo yada. The parents had no clue. Kimei Hashem Hi, that this was part of God's gave Shimshon a mission that he was going to accomplish with these Philistine women. This was part of Hashem's plan. But his parents really were puzzled by it. They weren't told. They didn't know what the script was. This was very unusual. What was the script exactly? So Shimshon wanted to, what was going to happen was that the Philistines had to, the Plishtim had to leave us alone. They had to stop terrorizing us, which they were doing. They had to, in order for them to respect us, they had to be afraid of us. They had to see that we were powerful. Now, if we were to wage war with them, there would have been thousands of casualties. There was no way to wage a war. We weren't worthy of a war. If we were to fight against them, they would take revenge against us. One of the reasons that in the Holocaust that people didn't fight back more was that the Nazis were famous for taking revenge. For every soldier that was killed, they would take out 1,000. And the Jews in the ghetto knew that. In other words, if one Jew would try to fight with a Nazi, they would shoot 100. If for everyone that would escape, they would execute the whole block. And so people were afraid, not afraid, but they didn't want to rebel because they saw it would harm their people. So Shimshon, if he were to make battle against the Plishtim to teach them a lesson, it would harm the Jewish people. And it wouldn't have been good for them. But what he had to do was he had to find a way that the Plishtim shouldn't realize that he had an agenda to teach them something or to fight against them. And this way they wouldn't take it out on the Jewish people. They had to see it in different terms. So what's going to happen was that he was looking for a way to be involved with the Plishtim and through that way, he would have his chance to take revenge on them, and they would gain fear and respect for the Jewish people, and there would be a period of quiet where we would no longer be afraid of the terrorism that the Plishtim were doing. So this was the story. Se'unehi mevakesh miplishtim. Shimshon was looking for a pretense to get back at the Plishtim. But he had to find a way that he would have some dealings with them. And so he chose to pick a wife from the Plishtim. Ube'esahi Plishtim Moshe Bisrael. And at that point, the Plishtim were ruling over the Jewish people. They were the rulers. They were the bosses. So part of his plan had to do with taking this woman. Now, part of the biggest challenge with Shimshon is that God was with him in his plan. God's spirit was with Shimshon, and he was given the power to do great miracles. And at the same time, Hashem got angry with Shimshon. Later on in life, he's going to be punished and he's going to be blinded by the Plishtim. And the tradition is that he was blinded because of his sins with his eyes, which is mentioned over here, that he said, take this woman because she was good in my eyes. So at the same time that he was doing miracles, he was also making mistakes. Which we have that concept. In other words, people, even when they are great, they still make mistakes. Shimshon is going to do great miracles, but that doesn't mean that everything he does is absolutely right. On the other hand, his basic concept of what he's trying to accomplish, Hashem is with him. But his parents, they had no clue what was going on. Shimshon insisted that they take a daughter from the Plishtim, and he wanted to use this for his plan, but it was a secret plan. No one else knew about it. Verse 5. V'yered Shimshon v'avimo Timnasa. So they went to Timna v'yavo ad Parme Timnasa. They went to the vineyards. Now, why does it mention these vineyards here? Why is that important, that there were vineyards there? So the tradition has it that Shimshon was a Nazir. A Nazir is not allowed to eat grapes or wine. And his parents took him past the vineyards, and Shimshon was careful even at that point to stay away from the vineyards. And they were trying to say to him, you know, Shimshon, you got to stay away from certain things. Just like you got to stay away from the vineyards, you got to stay away from the Philistine woman. And also, there are certain rules about vineyards, about we're not allowed to plant two different seeds together It's what we call klayim. In other words, when, in the laws of planting, you're not allowed to plant wheat and grapes together. And it could be there's nothing wrong with wheat and there's nothing wrong with grapes, but they don't mix together. And sometimes a person is convinced that they found the best woman in the world, they found their soulmate. It could be that person is a good person, but it doesn't mean she's for you. There's certain things are fine separate, but it doesn't mean that they mix. And that's part of the lesson of Klayim, that you can have two very important things, but you don't. They're not meant to be together. The creator of the world made it that way. So you have to, at some point, have some faith. If God says it's not going to be good for you, it's not going to be good for you. So that's what the parents were trying to teach Shimshon, that lesson, and it didn't stop him because he had this plan. Now, as he's going, some people say the parents went through the vineyard because they were not Nazirim, so they were allowed to go directly, and he skirted around. Now, as he was going around, a lion came to greet him.
So I didn't follow that. What's the connection between the vineyard and the lion?
Because in a vineyard, you're not allowed to grow different seeds together. In other words, in a vineyard, you're not allowed to grow grain. You're not allowed to. Klayim is a mixture of grape seeds and grain together. And so, part of what the parents, by taking him by the vineyard, were trying to show him that just like in the vineyard, we're not allowed to grow things together. You also should, you know, you're going to grow your family. There are certain seeds that don't mix.
Oh, okay. All right. So this was an example.
That was an example of that, yeah. I'm mentioning something that the Medrash brings out. It's not. The verse just says that they went near a vineyard, and so we're saying the vineyard has these rules about what can be planted with it and what can't, and that was should have been a message to Shimshon. Look, you know, we also, when we make our families, she can be a very nice woman, but she's not for you. There's certain things that are planted together and certain things that grow separate. And so we're different. We're Jews. And Shimshon has a lion coming out to greet him. Now, you could take this different ways. It could be Hashem was sending a lion to him to say, you know, to scare him off. You know, here's a lion. You know, you want to go down to Timna, you know, you're going to face the lion. This lady's going to be a lion. But you make fear, Arya Shoeg, the lion, like, roared to greet him. So Shimshon could be, Hashem was trying to tell him, you know, maybe this isn't such a good idea. But interesting enough, it's typical of Ruach Hashem. The spirit of Hashem comes on Shimshon. He just tears the lion apart. Now, humans typically aren't strong enough to take on a lion. A lion is a very strong creature. But Shimshon just does it like a goat, like no problem. Now, usually if a person had taken on a lion and defeated them, and a few minutes later they see their parents, they would have said, Mom and Dad, you'll never believe what just happened. But he didn't tell them. He didn't tell them what happened. He saw this, again, as a sign from Hashem. Hashem was trying to tell him that I'm going to be with you, that you are going to face, you're embarking on your career now, on your mission, and you're going to face the lions, but you'll overcome them. And so this is what happened, and he didn't tell his parents. Okay, verse 7, Vayedaber Elisha. They went and they spoke to the woman. Now, in those days, it was relatively common that the women would adopt the religion of the husband. In fact, up until recent times, it was always done that way. When a woman joined a man, she adopts his religion. That was just accepted. That was just the norm in all societies. And it seemed like that was what the purpose of the parents was to teach the woman what she needed to convert. Some people say that he and his parents were arranging this conversion. In other words, verse 7, when it says they went down and they spoke to the woman, and Shimshon was happy, he spoke to the parents and said, I want to marry her to be my Jewish wife. And they went down and they spoke to her and said, look, you know, do you agree? They had the wedding discussions. And again, it repeats, V'tishrei me'ene Shimshon. Shimshon, in his eyes, everything was great. Okay, verse 8. V'yashem miyam l'kakti. So time came for the wedding. And Shimshon goes back down to Timnah. V'yasar liros ismapelos aryeh. And he went back to see the area where he had fought the snake, the lion. Now, again, this doesn't happen every day that a person defeats a lion. Some people say that if a person has a miracle happen to them, there's a special mitzvah to recognize the miracle and to give thanks for the miracle. And if there's a miracle in a certain place, the person should go to that place, and there's actually a blessing that you make about the miracle that happened for the person in that place. There's the I think it's a famous story about the Vilna Gaon that his his mother was his parents were traveling on a sled in the cold Lithuanian forest, and the baby fell off the sled. You know, they hit a bump, and they were traveling, and they realized, where's the baby?
He was the baby?
No, I think it was his mother. They were terrified what happened, so they traced their path back, and they found the baby alone in the snow, and there was a fox that had watched over her, like it was sitting, and she wasn't frozen. They took her to the, you know, and they, so supposedly he went to this place to make the blessing of, you know, God, you know, saved my life, you know, my our family had been saved on this spot. A miracle happened here that was just totally unexpected. What? Have you heard that story?
I
never heard that story. Yeah, they say that. If a person experiences a miracle in their life or their family, it's important to acknowledge that. Some people say that Yosef, when he went back to the pit that he was thrown in as a boy to see it and to thank God that he was saved, because if you remember, he was thrown into that pit by his brothers. They didn't realize there were snakes and scorpions there. And he spent the night absolutely terrified amongst, you know, snakes and scorpions. No, but none of them bit him. And he was just, so he had to go back and see it. Sometimes like Holocaust survivors do that. They go back and they see where they had their ordeal and they give thanks to. So he went back to see the place where he defeated the lion. And and strange thing happened. There was a beehive in the carcass of the lion, which nobody's ever really heard of bees setting up inside a carcass. You know, the bees have other, you know, they go into a tree. They don't necessarily go into a carcass or into a skin. But somehow there was a beehive, and he took this as a sign that Hashem was, there's the idea that we don't see, if we see something unusual, there's some reason for it. So he saw this beehive in the lion, and he knew that was a sign from Hashem, that Hashem was giving him some kind of clue. So Bagvas Aryu Dvash. So he sees the beehive in the lion. First test. Bayeda El Kapab, and he went to the beehive, took some honey, Bayelach Holach Focho, and he ate some of the honey, Bayelach Elavi Vel Imo, and he brought his parents. Sounds like he was very close with his parents. You know, he's taking care of them, he found some honey, brings it to mom and dad. But below Hikilehem, he didn't tell him where he got the honey from. Ki Megvia Sa'arye. You brought the hajvash. He didn't tell them that he got the honey from the skin of the lion. I mean, that was the mystery over here. Now, it could be the message was that from a very dangerous encounter, something very sweet would come out. And that's what Shimshon was going to, what was going to happen. In other words, he was going to have some very dangerous encounters, and people would say he was crazy. And people would say he was a madman, he was this, he was that. And in the end, he brought peace to the Jewish people. And so, in a way, the message was that inside the lion, inside the carcass of the lion, by attacking and his wildness would bring the sweetness that would come afterwards. It could be that was part of the message. So let's see. Verse 10, Vayerida V'yuel Isha. So again, the mother doesn't even come to the wedding, almost. You know, she just can't deal with it. So she's not mentioned of it. So the father comes to the woman. Doesn't even tell us her name, by the way. Later on, we're going to know about one of the wives. It'll tell her by name. Here, we just don't even know what her name was. V'yasham Shimshon Mishta. And they made a party. Ki Kein Yasa B'chorim, because that's what all the young men do. That's right. That's what they're doing those times. So, when in Rome, you know. So, verse 11. It's interesting because the other things he did, because she was fitting, or they made a party because that's what you're supposed to do. Everybody does it this way, right? Verse 11. Hiki Rosa Oso, and was when he saw them. V'yiku shloshim mireyim v'yito. They took 30 people together. There was a certain amount of people that were invited. And these were expected to be friends. In other words, certain people were invited to be like a groomsman or part of the wedding party. So, verse 12. Vayom Elam Shimshon. Now, being that this was a Philistine town, the people that would have come to the wedding would have been Philistines. So these were 30 Plishtim that came to the wedding party. Vayom Elam Shimshon Achuda Nilechem Chida. So Shimshon said, well, you know, what do men do when they get together? They try to, you know, each one knows one better, tells a better joke than the next one, or tells a better riddle, or tells a... So Shimshon said to them, he said, I'll tell you a riddle. And if you can answer the riddle, I'll give you 7 days to work on it. And in those days, clothing was very valuable. If you had to make clothing from scratch, it could take, you know, to sew the clothing together and weave it and to shear the sheep and to kill the skins. And it was a huge ordeal to have a set of clothing. So there were 30 guests. So Shimshon made a challenge to the guests. He said, look, if you can answer my riddle, everyone here will get a new suit. That was the deal. Mayor Mishnah Estatus Kham Shloshim Sadinim and Shloshim Khalifas. He was going to give them the suits and the exchange of clothing. It seems like the clothing were you know, several articles of clothing. Now, verse 13, the Imlosu Kula Hagili. Now, on the other hand, if you can't tell me, Nisatim Atemli, then each one of you will have to give me Shloshim Sadin Mishloka. They give me 30 sets of clothing. That's fair. So he makes the deal. But Yomarlo Chudachidas, he said, tell us the riddle of Nishmana and we'll hear. They like that deal. So that was going to be the wedding, the first day of the wedding, of the wedding party, of the bachelor party, whatever it was. He says, this is the deal. I'll tell you a riddle. If you get it, then I'll buy all of you a new suit. If I get it, you'll buy me a new suit. So he tells them the riddle. Guess what the riddle is? It's about that lion and the honey. Because he knew they would never guess. So he said the following, V'yomer lehen. Again, it's just interesting, like, because Tanakh is so few words. That he says, Meha ocho yotze meichel. He said, from the food, from the one that eats, comes food. Now, they didn't know it was the lion, by the way. They had no idea. It sounded very strange. And from the one that eats comes food. And the one that eats over here is the lion. Ume oz, and from something that's very strong, oz is might, yotamas, will come something very sweet. So from the eater will come the food, and from the strong will come the sweet. So that was the riddle. And they had, that was... if you didn't know the lion and the honey, you would have never guessed of it. And it also wasn't that common, but he told them, I maybe gave them hints, he told them this is something real, this is something that happened on the way here. And if any of you can guess this, you're going to get yourself a new suit. For 3 days, they had no one even came close. And it was on the seventh day. So they should have just given up, right? They're fair and square, but they weren't fair and square. They decided that they had to know this riddle. They didn't want to be out of suit. So they put pressure on Shimshon's wife, who was a plishti, to find out the secret. They said, you know, speak to your new husband, and you'll get it out of them. It wasn't the seventh day of Shimshon. Piti es ishech. We're going to see, in a certain way, Shimshon's weak spot is through his wife. They get to Shimshon through his women. That seems to be how the Plishtim tried to influence him. So they said, go and convince your man, but Yagid Lanu es Achida, and he'll tell us the riddle. Now, what happens? She just married him. Why would she would want to be on his side, not on their side? And they threatened her. Now, again, I told you the Plishtim were not nice people. These are the people that came to her wedding party. They said, and if you don't do this, guess what? Panishav Osa, if you don't do this, you know, there might be a fire that would happen to burn your house up. That's Beza Micha and your parents and your family. It might be a good idea for you to tell us this riddle and find it out for us. Otherwise, there's a fire hazard in your parents' house. Did you invite us to this wedding in order to make us poor, that we're going to all have to pay for a suit? So that was their... Here they're complaining to her. They agreed to the riddle. They put pressure on her. They threatened her and her family if she wouldn't find out the answer to the riddle. So I told you, you know, like, you get a feeling for what the Plishtim were like. You know, they weren't very peaceful kind of people. And this was the Plishtim. They said they're going to burn her and her family down if they didn't tell her the riddle. Okay. But Teif Geshe Shimshon Olav. So she resorted to tears, right? Man can't help whether, how can you resist tears? So she cried to him, Olav Atoma. And she said, Rach Sinesi. And she used guilt. Here he marries a Philistine woman and he gets guilt. He says, Rach Sinesi Velo Avtani. She said, you must have hated me and not loved me. Achida Chadata Livneyami. You told everybody the riddle, Vali Lo Agadata. She tells him that when you love someone, you share the secrets with them. Right? You tell them. So she says, not only didn't you love me, you must hate me if you don't tell me. And what, you know, Shimshon didn't want to hear, you know, this is his new bride, and she was saying that if he doesn't tell her, he must hate her. And, you know, she said that you told everybody the riddle, and you told my people, but you never told me, and I really want to know. So let's see Shimshon's answer. Shimshon says, V'yomala, Shimshon says, don't think it has anything to do with you. It's not that I don't love you. Hinei la'avi li'imi lo'hagadati. I didn't tell my mother or father. V'lo'chagin, and I should tell you. So interesting how he answers it, right? In other words, well, you know I love my parents, right? And I didn't tell them. Now, we'll see, this didn't totally satisfy her. You know, she was hoping that she was more than his parents. But he said, look, when you have a riddle, you have to keep it totally secret. Otherwise, I could be financially ruined if they would find out. So he said, you know, I don't think I hate you. I didn't tell anybody. Verse 17, Matev Kolav, Shivashev, for 7 days. She cried. Asher Hayu Lehem Amishta, every day of the party, she cried to him. And it wasn't the seventh day, couldn't take it anymore. She was, you know, tell me, Shimshon, what's the riddle? Come on. But Yagila, and finally he told her. He had seeked him because she was tormenting him. And then, as soon as she heard it, she went and she told the other people, her fellow Philistines, the riddle. The last day of the party. Verse 18. They said the people of the city came on the seventh day, and they told Shimshon. They said, "B'terem yava charasa ma masak midvash." When you said, "What could be sweeter?" They were trying to pretend that all of a sudden they figured it out using logic, right? In other words, what could be sweeter than honey, and what could be stronger than a lion? So it must be that you found the honey from the lion. The Yomelam. So they were pretending that they all of a sudden had this great bit of wisdom to figure out the riddle. Shimshon, he knew exactly what went on. The Yomelam, Lulei Harashta Beglossi, had you not plowed with my cow, Lomitsosum Kidossi, you wouldn't have found my riddle. So, the word Egla, like my cow, you know, sometimes we call somebody dear, you know, means the honey, or, you know, it was a nice way of saying his wife was his cow, or his what? Well, that was the way, I guess, in that society they described. Some people say they were accusing, he felt that they compromised his wife. Had you not plowed other, the plow, what it does is it puts pressure on the ground to break it open for planting. And there was, they said, you must have been, to get my wife to tell you this, you must have forced her and threatened her. How could you do such a thing? So now Shimshon is going to do his first act of strength. That's going to put fear in the heart of the Plishtim. Of Ruach Hashem, Yered Ashkelon. He goes down to Ashkelon. The Yachman, what he does is he goes into the street and he takes out 30 people, kills them, takes their clothing, and then he calls out to the people that he said, "You want your 30 changes of clothing? Here they are." And then he's angry and he walks home. Unfortunately, we're out of time, so I can't. We're going to have to deal with these last psukim. We'll review this next week, Mitzvah Hashem. And he goes home, and then his wife, meanwhile, goes to one of the people in the wedding party, a Shireolo that was supposed to be a friend. And the plot thickens. And so this story is not over by any means, but what's going to happen is that the Plishtim are going to be afraid of Shimshon and what he might do, because he's extremely powerful to take on 30 people and to upset him and get him angry, and they wouldn't be able to blame this on the Jewish people. They wouldn't be able to say we're waging war against the Plishtim. They would have to say that this is what happened. He got angry because of the wedding and this and that. But what was going to happen was that the Plishtim were going to be afraid to mess with us, which is what they needed sometimes, a little fear in their hearts before they would seek to do things to us.